You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with Funny Man Damian Lemon, Crazy East Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Mic check. Hello, welcome to In the Conversation.
That's wild. We in here. You in the conversation?
My coming
in here all laid back.
I know,
like it's the quiet storm or some shit.
Hilarious.
What's good, man?
We in the conversation, man. It's your boy Vladimir Camaño
and Ali in here.
Sans Damien. Damien's not able to join us today.
We tag teaming, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm in, he out.
Out in.
He in, I'm out.
You know what I mean? That's how we do.
That's not how we do.
Yeah, I mean, we support. If somebody can't come in, we jump in. But we still get the job done, though, Ali.
Yeah, that's the good thing.
We consistent, man.
Conversation rolls on.
We don't stop, man.
Like Diddy. I told you that we wouldn't stop.
Happy holidays to everybody out there, man. Got Christmas coming up.
That's for sure.
So get your gifts together and all that. And Ali, man, I'm excited
What's up?
Excited to have you here, brother.
Oh, man, come on, man. We're here. This is the biggest time of the year, ain't it?
You mean money-wise?
No.
Fourth quarter?
Nah, it's Christmas. It's Hanukkah. It's going down.
Oh, it's all going down, dude. Isn't Kwanzaa coming up?
Yeah, Kwanzaa. It should be happy times.
You do Kwanzaa?
Nope.
I don't do Kwanzaa either. But yeah, man, it's a big holiday. I was at Macy's that day. It was a total madhouse in there, dog.
Right.
Yeah, people skipping each other online. It was insane.
What, you was buying gifts?
Got a little couple gift cards.
That's what you're doing this year?
Yeah, for some of the more mature members of my family. You don't know what to get them, so I get them like little Macy's. Macy's for mature people is very still fancy. Still has cachet.
Macy's on 34th Street is like a fucking amusement park.
It is insane. They got a 1.5 floor.
Yeah, they've been here down.
Yeah, 1.5.
Yeah, that's where you get your jeans.
What kind of elf building is this where you got a half floor?
Man, you got to make the most of it, man.
I was talking to Damien last week, man, because I was looking for a good pair of jeans, and I went to Macy's to go buy some jeans. They don't got Echo jeans no more, man.
That's what you were looking for?
Yeah, Damien said Echo ain't in style no more, but I like the fit. You know what I mean? I got some... I got security guard shoes, Ali, and
ACG boots, and Echo jeans.
I'm stuck in the 90s, man.
Man, you like battle rapping and shit with Eminem.
Dog, I'm out here eating annihilators with some sunflower seeds in the corner doing pull-ups. Keep it hood, baby.
So what'd you end up getting?
They didn't have the jeans I like. They had all these jeans are straight, man. They're all straight fitted. I like relaxed fit.
Well, you know, that's the new silhouette, man. You looking like 92 right now.
I can't stand those straight fitted jeans.
Wow.
They don't fit my body. My body
gotta
move.
So what you gonna do when you get
on TV? Well, for the most part, TV is trunk up. You know what I mean? Your face.
Nah, really?
Yeah, but you shoot.
Stand up. You gotta see your whole body.
Well, if you're doing a special, you know what I mean? You get that special.
Yeah. What you gonna wear?
I'm gonna have to get maybe a robe.
Some Ghostface Killer shit?
Some loose. I've always hated fitted clothing, Ali. That's why I never went corporate. I hated suits, dog. To this day, I hate suits. Mm. Can't stand a suit.
So you like my man. What's my man? Used to be on the Roseanne Barr show?
John Goodman?
Yeah.
Hate suits, dog.
That's you?
I just can't stand the perception that people put on it. It's like, oh, professional.
Yeah.
This guy's about business.
That's right.
But those are the biggest robbers in the world.
But that's the whole point.
Meanwhile, I put a fitted cap on, and all of a sudden, this is criminality.
Why make it hard on yourself?
Why?
if you're going to a meeting and you're trying to get the money,
yeah,
you're trying
why to get
make
paper?
It difficult?
I know, man. I know. Maybe when I have some kids, I'll be.
I'm gonna wear a hoodie and a motherfucking Yankee cap.
Goddamn right,
bitch.
Catch me at the shul with a hoodie
what's
on.
What's up with that money?
At the shul with a hoodie on. Talking. Where you at? Going to talk to my rabbi.
Oh man.
With a hoodie on, some ACG boots on.
And that's the time and place for everything, man.
Yeah, this is
you
true. Know?
You could wear your Echo shit over here, and then you put your little blazer on with your Echo jeans. You know, I'm like, better to get it off. They think you're at least trying.
Yeah. I got some good suits, though. I ain't going to lie.
When the last time you won?
October.
Oh, shit, man. You acting like you ain't never seen that.
Had a little private event.
So you do your thing.
Yeah, I do my thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, it is what it is. But on a side note, Damien and I talked about top five last week, but I wanted to get your take on it. We didn't get a chance to chop it up.
Revisiting top five?
Yeah, your perspective. Ali Muhammad's.
Nah, they hip to your boy.
Yeah, that's right.
Hip to your boy. Nah, that shit was funny.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, that shit was funny, man. It was, it was, you know, good to see that those guys, you know, just being loose, you know. So it wasn't, you know, wasn't a lot of hardcore acting. It was, you know, everybody just being in a zone and doing some funny shit.
Right.
It's like you get a bunch of friends together to do funny shit and it worked. That's how it felt to me.
And then as a filmmaker yourself, how'd you feel about the overall look of the movie, the shoot?
Well, I like that it was low budget.
Right.
And I like that, you know, some of the shots were, you know, blown out and not as greatly color corrected. Gives me hope.
Top six
like,
coming
shit,
out.
Shit, I could have shot this shit.
I'm doing my own.
I'm gonna make me a movie. Fuck that.
Ali, check out Ali online when you get a chance, man. Dude's a beast. He's an excellent filmmaker. Does his thing.
We do our thing, man. But we about to turn it up a notch. 2015, we about to grow up a little bit.
It's going to be crazy. But Ali, what I did want to talk to you about, man, I want to start early in the conversation, is the situation with Iggy Azalea.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the current uproar,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's coming from different sides, too. Q-Tip.
I mean, with Q-Tip, it wasn't really an uproar. You know what I'm saying? It was just jumping in because, you know, he is Zulu Nation. You know what I'm saying? Trying to, you know. It's almost as I'm going to extend this olive branch and smack you with it at the same time. So he was going to impart knowledge at her expense almost. That's how she took it. And, you know, she can't catch a break right now.
She can't, dude.
Nah. It ain't her fault.
And she's been quiet, too.
Not really.
Has she spoken the last, like, 24, 48 hours?
She say little slick shit. You know what I mean? She says little, like, some shit by a Q-Tip. She thanked Lupe Fiasco and Will I Am for backing her up or saying nice things about her. And with Q-Tip, she was like, you know what I'm saying, some shit about, you know, and, you know, these guys getting on here while we're, you know, taking history lessons from shit that I supposedly don't know from a stranger.
Right.
So, you know, that didn't help her out.
That does not help her out at all.
At all.
I have a question regarding the authenticity of hip-hop, though.
Mm-hmm.
How much, and this I'm talking about, I'm relating this to art in general. How much of art is related based on the time you grew up and the context you grew up in? For example, if you grew up in the 80s, your definition of hip-hop would be like 90s hip-hop. Nas, Wu-Tang Clan. And you're coming out of a context of crack era. You're coming out of very difficult circumstances, at least in New York, coming out of that. So the mm-hmm. music is going to reflect that.
Right. The music did a lot of things. I mean, I think we have revisionist history when it comes to hip-hop a lot and how, you know, it was definitely rooted out of the culture and it was saying cultural things, but then you still had your party and bullshit records at the same time. You know what I mean? So it was a place for the, you know, the knowledgeable songs. It was a place for the socioeconomic songs. But then it was a lot of, you know what I'm saying, I had a big long caddy, not like a Seville.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of that. Watch color TV so I could see the Knicks play basketball. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think we take certain things to heart, and when we don't have that aspect, and I think right now what we don't have is a lot of the mix. It's not a lot of diversity in the subject matter that plays across the airwaves. So when you get fed one message, one message, one message, and then you got Iggy Azalea come along with, oh, I'm so fancy, I'm fancy. And then I get all of the fucking attention. It's like, what the fuck? There's nothing else? But it's not her fault that she's fancy.
I do want to comment on your excellent Iggy Azalea impression. That was fantastic. I mean, that was dead on.
Right, you know.
Chris, am I right? That was a dead-on impression of Iggy.
I like it.
I mean, you know, Fancy is it's a catchy record. It right. has its place. That's what Lupe said, you know what I'm saying? That she has her place, you know? And it's not her fault that she has found a little space and they're pushing mad money behind her, because she wasn't always that artist. She was a fucking outlier making wild ass trap music with a white girl voice that nobody was really fucking with until she blew up.
Right. So a couple questions about this situation. Why are they coming after her? I'm playing devil's advocate. Why are they coming after her and not Macklemore, not like Eminem, for example?
Eminem has been in the game so goddamn correct. Long. Why are you coming out to Eminem now?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And with Eminem, he could spit. You know what I mean? He had great rhymes.
He got bars.
Right. And I think Macklemore did face a lot of this. He just didn't fuck it up as bad. You know what I mean? And then, you know, they came for Macklemore when he won the Grammy and all that shit.
Kendrick text went out.
Yeah, so they came for him, but he laid low and shit, stayed out of the fray.
Because I'm just curious to know, like, how much of it, if any, I mean, you know, race is involved, obviously, but how much of it is also the gender piece?
A lot of it is gender piece, because if you're looking at, you know, the opportunities for female MCs, you know what I'm saying, it's very slim, you know what I mean? And then when you're talking about the female constituency in the black community, especially online, they over-index in speaking their voice online. So when you got that mix of, it's not a lot of, they don't see a lot of that of themselves in the genre. Then you got this girl who's, you know what I'm saying, just all over the place. You get, you know, the voices coming out against it. And then she say some slick shit, you know what I mean? Then there ain't no room on the internet for slick back talk.
Right.
Unless you could really, you know what I'm saying, talk that talk and back it up. But she's not that slick with it with her words on Twitter, so you know she can't really shut it down.
Did Azalea Banks to you sound at all bitter at all?
Nah, Azalea Banks, she never sounded bitter to me. She sounded like she was voicing her opinion and was very strong with it. And then when you had, you know, the TIs of them all come back at her, like, you know what I'm saying, it started with her beefing with T.I. And when you got this, you know, this made rapper coming at you and you on the come up, like, why the fuck he coming at me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And she didn't back down. She didn't. She had a lot of slick talk on the Twitter. And so T.I. shut her down for a minute. Then she pops back up like a little, you know what I'm saying, free radical. And she won't go away. Now she has
a platform, yeah.
Not even a platform. Now what she's saying is making a lot more sense in context to what's going on in culture. So when you got a lot of race bait going on the internet, a lot of things happening in the world that's race based, and people are becoming the conversation. And you start looking at what's going on, and then you got Iggy Azalea. And then, you know what I'm saying, then you got T.I., you know, jumping to her defense. And then you got this little girl saying, you know, these things, what she's saying, that's actually kind of making sense. Now, she has the platform, but now she has the attention. You know what I'm saying? People are paying more attention to what she's saying now.
Because, you know, is there any, do you think there's any shred of truth to the fact that, like, the industry's looking at Iggy and they're going, oh, this is a white woman? And they'll put extra emphasis on her extra exposure?
It ain't about the industry looking at her. It's about her label, you know what I'm saying? The people who fund her and her infrastructure. So every artist has their own infrastructure and business model. And yeah, if they found out that, hey, motherfuckers like this shit, and they could put more money behind it and they could get it spread and they could get a hit out of it, that's what they're going to do. That's what the buildings are there for. To make shit like that happen. Like, it's not surprise or no shit like that. I think the biggest problem with the whole shit is that there's not a lot of diversity in the conversation. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Because if you take the 90s, you know what I'm saying? You had Tribe, you had KRS-One,
Wu-Tang.
You had Wu-Tang, you had Big Daddy Kane,
Nas.
You had Nas, you had NWA, you had Cube. You know what I'm saying? You had Too Short. You had E-40. You had Master P. You had Luke. You had the Ghetto Boys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got all these different kinds of voices. You know what I'm saying? So if you want some wild ass, ignorant, you know what I'm saying, shake your ass in the club, you listen to some Luke or the, you know what I'm saying, all of the down south booty shake music. If you want to, you know what I'm saying, you want to just thug all the way out, you know, you listen to some West Coast gangster shit.
So what you would argue in the age of the internet that we have now, that there's actually less diversity now?
It ain't about the reality. It's the perception. The perception is there's less diversity because the radios play less songs than ever. If the radio is only playing 20 songs, anything you see on TV is those 20 artists. The award shows are based on those 20 artists as far as the major platform, the major categories. Talking about, if you're talking about hip-hop, R&B, the traditional black categories, all of those awards are going to Macklemore and Iggy Azalea and Robin Thicke. You heard? So, if you only got them and Drake and, you know, Sam, 10 other artists to choose from, and they're supporting the artists that do the best, that's it, player. You got 10 artists.
That's a question I have for you. At what point is talent... What's the line between actual talent and perceived talent? You get elevated so high that people go, you know what, that's got to be talent.
No, I don't think that's the case. It's not about talent at this point. It's about business. The actual business model. If I say, Vlad, you got a record out. What's the name of your record?
Ya tu sabe.
Ya tu sabe, abes. Ya tu sabe. Ya tu sabe, right?
Did we record it? Make sure that's recorded.
You know what I'm saying? Ya tu sabe. Is popping on the internet. And somebody's like, yo, that shit got 2 million views. Let's call fucking Vlad. Vlad, what's up? We want to put some money behind your Y2 Sabe. Give you $1 million and a single deal. And we're going to get you radio play all over the world. And, you know, you'll be able to do shows and shit. We'll split the money. You like, shit, let's do it. Now, Y2 Sabe is one of those songs. And you are one of those artists. And that's it.
Bobby Shmurda.
It's the business. But they're looking at shit that's already going. And some types of art is not, you know, day-to-day fodder. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't resonate, you know, as quickly, you know what I'm saying, as some stuff. So if you just, you know, wah, two, that bit,
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Got a little dance. You know what I'm saying? That might move a little faster on the internet than if you sang a powerful love song with your vocals,
you know. And then with Iggy though, one of the main critiques is that she's appropriating black culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my friend Chris about this, and he made an interesting point. He said, this is his point. You know, I'm still wrestling with it, but he said, she's not appropriating the best of black culture.
What the fuck is that?
He's basically saying, he made a point that she was taking all the ratchetness. And
why wouldn't she? That's what's popping right now.
So he was saying, why are we fighting for our own ratchetness?
That's what we always do. They fight for Kim Kardashian's ass out on the cover. They fight for, you know what I mean?
But what do you think of that point? That, like, what she's basically...
That's true.
Yeah.
She's taking the ratchet shit. But they, I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, it's not just about what she's singing and how she's singing. It's that... She's the only one that gets an opportunity, perception-wise. Why is she the one? Why do we have to hear Fancy all fucking day?
Right.
Why does she win the fucking award for best hip-hop album at the AMAs or whatever the fuck? Like, that shit right there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's more of that than just she's the ratchet rapper and... You know, with the
She beat out Eminem too at the American Music Awards.
And Eminem said he a raper.
He said that?
Yeah.
So, you serious?
Yeah, but you know, Eminem don't get called out on crazy shit like that because he used to saying crazy shit like that.
That's a hell of a get out of jail card. Oh, that's M. That's M. That's just
I raped the bitch.
That's just him talking. Keep it moving.
Let you say that on your song.
Oh, forget about it.
I raped a bitch.
Done rap.
You going your ass to jail.
Got
to
issue an apology.
Bill Cosby in this bitch.
Ah. But yeah, I mean, like, so the conversation is that Iggy is getting more of a opportunity than these other
She artist. Is the opportunity. It ain't more of an opportunity. She is the face of hip hop, according to all things establishment. She's on magazines. She gets the award. She's getting the airplay.
And, you know, it's interesting to see how people respond because, you know, T.I. came to defend her online and Black Twitter went crazy on him.
And we know we've been talking about this over time in this conversation about T.I. You know. Yeah, I mean, I think Twitter is dragging his ass right now.
The hashtag is when T.I. tweets, right?
That's what it is? Tip tweets.
When Tip tweets.
And then it's just crazy after that.
But it's funny because you can't separate race from this conversation. Like, the majority of the tweets about T.I. are about this Black man trying to save this white woman.
Exactly. And that's how it looks. You know what I'm saying? That's the perception of it all. When reality is, it's a businessman trying to protect his investment. You know? It's a businessman trying to make sure that his money train keeps going. And why don't y'all leave my motherfucking money train alone? But everybody like, well, shit, you ain't do that with your other with your other artists.
Right, right. And I think that's
where...
You
ain't jump out there with B.O.B. protecting his interests. When they was dragging your wife across the internet by her blue eyes, you didn't, you know, come to her defense.
Because he had a big old smile at the American Music Awards.
Yeah. I mean, he was happy. And for a gangster rapper, that just wasn't what you're used to seeing from...
You can't be happy as a gangster
rapper. From trapped out as T.I. He's been happy a lot lately. I think that's the new improved T.I. He was happy singing with Robin Thicke and Blurred Lines. He was dancing and shit. He was out there fucking dancing a real fucking dance. Blurred Lines.
But you know what the funny thing is, though, Ali, it's that this is not a new concept, though. I mean, you could argue the same thing happened with Elvis.
Yeah, but in this time, it's in reverse. It's kind of like what's happening in gentrification. You know what I'm saying? It's like before in the 70s and 80s, you had white flight, right? When I grew up, they desegregated everything. We moved to the new neighborhood, and we was the only Black people on the block.
This is Miami? This is Miami. Miami.
For about 8 months. And then all of the white families started moving out. And it just became a Black neighborhood. So right now, with how things are going, you have white families moving into historically Black neighborhoods. Which is the reverse of, I mean, it's the reverse effect from how I saw it growing up. So it's the same thing, but in reverse. So when we were young, we moved into the neighborhood, then we had to learn the white way of doing things around here. They move into Bed-Stuy, they had to learn the Black way that things are happening. And it could be a great thing because, you know, say if you take Bed-Stuy, you know what I'm saying, everybody speaks. It's like a neighborhood. It's like a community. You know what I'm saying? You got things going on. You got people at the coffee shop coming up with new ideas, making shit. You know, a lot of artists that you see that's doing shit on TV, a lot of those people live right in that community. So it's a very warm community. So a lot of times when new families come in, they come in very tight and standoffish, like, okay, oh, shit, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Then you see them 6 months later, a year later, then they give you the, you know, dap. You know what I mean? Giving you the hug with the handshake, you know? So it's, you know, they, you know, it's, you get to share some of the good things as well as, you know, some of the bad things. But in this particular case, what are we talking about?
Well, the point I was making was like this Iggy complex is not new.
Right. But okay, so with Elvis,
for example,
it's in reverse. Back then, it was, you know, a lot of, you know, say a white manager coming in and say, hey, let's get the Black guys to write us these records, and then we put them out, and then they don't get credit, and then we get all credit, and it becomes Elvis and shit, right? So now with, you know, especially in Atlanta, you got like, you had the example of was Akon.
With Lady Gaga.
Akon, you know, guy with Akon, they put Lady Gaga with Akon. They made music with Red One, who was a Moroccan producer. Shout out to F.A., who was managing Red and kind of helped orchestrate, put that whole thing together. And then you had her collaborating and them making this music. You know what I'm saying? So with, you got T.I., you had Usher with Justin Bieber,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit in reverse to where these guys are in control of their situation, and they have enough fame and enough popularity to help fuel the careers of the new Elvises.
See, I think that's the interesting thing about this whole dilemma. Back, you know, that's a good point, is that as much as we're critiquing Iggy for her success, there's mm-hmm. people of color behind this.
Definitely. I mean, she's always, before T.I. even got involved with her, you know, she's always had, you know, black producers and black boyfriends, and she was living that shit. You know what I'm saying? As they say, she was about that life. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know what I'm saying, she's doing trap music and then going to fucking Connecticut and nestling in at the summer home with her mom. You know what I mean? She was in these streets.
Because that's the funny part. So you could say, oh, she's only doing it because she's a, you know, she's a white woman, but there's a black man behind her.
Kind of, sort of.
Kind of, I mean, right.
There's a black face behind
Correct, him. Right. Justin Bieber.
And then a white corporation behind him.
Right.
But at least he's getting broke off. He's in the middle.
Right. He's in on the take. So that's what I think is interesting about it. Like, you can't just blame, you could blame Miggy for it, but in the...
I think with the whole thing, it's like anything. I think they're just playing it all wrong. I think they're responding wrong. I think T.I.'s responding wrong. I think Iggy's responding wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of it, you know what I'm saying, maybe authentic, you know, maybe her. It may be her thing. You know, she came to America. She fell in with the crowd that she thought was cool. She was, you know, a little thick for a white girl. So, you know what I'm saying? She kind of fell in with what was liking her. And, you know, I just think they're not telling the story right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they're responding. They're responding very defensively and standoffish. And it doesn't look good. And so people continue to throw fuel on the fire. And then T.I. comes out dancing and smiling. Hey, we did it on y'all motherfuckers. Ha ha.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that just, you know, enrages the social media from there.
Race is a big thing now, dog. I feel like, I mean, race has always been an issue, but do you feel that this has been one of the peak times in our 2014 specifically?
Listen, man, I think it's just the way they play 10 records on the radio. I think the news has 10 stories that they're giving us. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the only conversation. It's just like
Illuminati.
And I ain't gonna put it all on like no shit like that, but it's you know, it's business at the end of the day. They're gonna give you what moves the needle, what draws people in, what fucking gets clicks, what fucking they could keep people in front of the TV for their advertisers. You know what I'm saying? So they feeding us this conversation right now for whatever reason. I don't know.
But do you think we're at a point now, Ali? Like, if you look at the way people are coming after Iggy, the situation with the police, you know, police force, mm-hmm. Barack being in office, you think we're at a point now where, as tumultuous as it is, that we're talking about race more openly than we ever have?
You're talking about everything more openly.
You know, we got gay marriage.
It's the internet.
Yeah, right.
Anything you want to be, you got a platform and a voice. So you got the people in Europe that's fighting to have sex with their dog.
What?
Yeah, there's a whole movement of people trying to say, you know, make it legal to have a relationship, a sexual relationship with their animals.
I'm sorry, I gotta process that for a minute. People are
whatever you into.
Fighting for this?
Yes, motherfucker, look it up.
You telling me that
it was on the cover of a magazine? I saw it in the bookstore.
What bookstore? This is at Barnes and Noble,
Atlantic, or one of those.
The Atlantic is very reputable, for real.
No, not it might not be in Atlantic, but it was a fucking reputable ass. Fucking educational type of, you know what I'm saying, thought provoking ass magazine. It wasn't like a fucking TMZ or no shit.
The problem I have with that is that the dog doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, he kinda.
But what consent is a dog giving? Like, you know what, I would like to marry you.
Dog might say, hey, girl, hey, come on, get this.
You, by the way, your impression study are dead on. Like, you're the mimic king today, dog, for real. Iggy's on point. He just did an impression of a dog saying yes to a proposal.
I mean, a dog, hey, I don't know, man. I don't know nothing about that life. I'm not about it.
You know, you're not about that life, Ali?
I don't even have pets, you know what I mean? So I have no idea, but that is something that's out there. So what I'm saying is everything that people are into, they have a voice and a platform, and they could find people globally that are into that same thing.
So basically, you're saying that the internet has allowed us to face certain issues because of the sheer volume of stories that come out.
It definitely has allowed us to see issues that we would never see or hear about. It just everybody just talking about a bunch of shit all the fucking time, 24 hours a day.
You know, it's interesting because, and you also get different perspectives on the same thing within rapid fire. As you know, these two cops were shot last week.
Mm-hmm. In Bed-Stuy.
Oh, that's right. You're Brooklynite.
Right.
And it just seemed to me, it felt like I was watching a movie. You know, in the midst of all this regard, and then all of a sudden two cops get shot.
And right after they say, they tell the mayor, you know what I'm saying, don't come to cops' funerals. Then next weekend, it's cops' funerals.
It seemed like a movie to me. I couldn't.
It feel like a movie.
I could have sworn I was in a Spike Lee. You know, you've seen that Spike Lee camera shot where you're like on a dolly?
Yeah.
That's what I felt like when I heard the news. I was walking down the street. I said, is this for real?
Yeah. Did you see the Instagrams and all that shit?
No. I kind of stayed off the Instagram on this one.
No. It was actually part of the news cycle. They were showing the Instagrams of the guy who killed the guys. Killed the cops.
Oh, wait. I did see one where he had a picture of a gun.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to go out and get these dudes.
Right. So, you know, they had all that on the news, in the news cycle.
Let me ask you a question, Ali. What I found interesting was the fact that he killed two police officers of color.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that was any significance?
Man, I'm not going to speculate on none of that shit. But I think there's still a false narrative that we're being told. You know what I mean? I live in that community, and you know, you get the police union head that's, you know, trying to set the war. We at war.
We're at war right now.
You know what I'm saying? We at fucking war, and it's this, and it's all of this fucking angst against the police. And not really. I live in that neighborhood.
There's no angst, right?
Everybody chilling. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's been relatively, I've been there where the years where it's been popping and it's been hot, but not in the last 4 years. It's not really been that popping. And that guy wasn't even from Brooklyn. He came from Baltimore via Atlanta.
Took the mega bus up.
Right. So, you know, for them to be saying that it's this type of environment, and it's not really, you know what I'm saying?
That's what kills me about it, the way they paint the community. That's what always bothers me, too, is like the way they paint the hood, quote unquote.
Right, and you sitting there, you looking at it every day like, shit, everything, you know what I'm saying?
Ain't no angst out here.
Nah, if anything, motherfuckers is shook. You know what I'm saying? You police coming through, you shook. You like, man, nobody want no parts of them. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like some fucking war going on.
Right.
How they paint it, you know what I mean? And that's the weird part about me. That's the movie part. You're sitting there and you're watching it on the news, and you know the guy, you know, and there's all this angst against the police. Not really.
And you can see them trying to flip it towards their favor. I mean, like, this is why we police the way we do.
Exactly. And then it's almost like a commercial for new police.
That's why I couldn't believe it when the news came out. I was like, is this for real?
Because it's like now, all of a sudden, like, that happened. And you see, like, the guys, the car that they were in from the picture that we see, and it was like a brand new cruiser. Like, I had never seen that cruiser before. Now in the hood, all you see is that brand new cruiser. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got all these, like, it's like a whole marketing campaign for we coming with a whole new approach. It's like, man, that's a new, nice new cars and shit.
Because what bothered me about the cop shooting was, like, my fear was that it was going to reinvigorate that narrative that we're born and bred to be criminals.
Right.
That's an inherent characteristic of people of color in poor neighborhoods.
Exactly.
That's what pissed me off about that cop shooting, because I was like, they're going to use this to reinvigorate that storyline.
Right.
This is why we choke. This is why we do what we do in the streets when it comes to profiling, you know, young black and Latino males.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Giuliani upsets me, actually, to be honest, sometimes when he goes on the air.
Yeah, he's inciting shit, you know, man. But like I said, at the end of the day, man, ain't nobody thinking about that shit, man. Nobody thinking about Giuliani ass or the motherfucking union motherfucker trying to set shit off. He don't got to go in the streets at night. He go home, you know what I'm saying? And it's probably got a driver that drives him home in fucking security detail and shit. He don't have to go work these streets. You know what I'm saying? They setting the war environment for motherfuckers who gotta already go out here and do the work. They already fucking scared. just the police that's scared.
It's just crazy to me, dog. It's crazy to me, man, because I guess I don't know. I just that it bothers me. That narrative bothers me, dog. Like,
that's why you gotta remove yourself from the narrative and look at what's really happening in real life around you.
Like, I'm gonna start walking outside with my college diploma on my neck.
That ain't gonna help. I'm like, crazy man.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying, right? I'm just showing you I'm a college graduate. He's crazy.
Are you trying to be funny? Trying to be funny?
Take him down. Trying to be smart around us. Take him down now. Get.
I mean, shit.
So that's what bothers me, because, like, you know, I used to work with youth. I was a counselor, and, like, they internalize that type of message sometimes, like, you know, so.
But see, that's another thing that happens too. You know, you get this messaging and you get this thing of you know, how it's supposed to be and how they perceive things to be. A lot of young people, we get the message, we watch the news and shit. They not watching that shit. My son don't even fucking know that it's supposed to be that environment, because he get his news from Instagram, which is about the new Jordan release and you know what I'm saying? Hot girl of the week, woman crush Wednesday, man crush Monday.
Right.
That's the shit they know.
With the hot girl of the week, what sites is he going to see that? Would you mind sharing that?
Instagram, fool.
Okay, I would like to know what.
I'm just saying, and they're the hot teenager, man.
Yeah, I want to know what.
No, you don't want to know who hot teenager.
Right, cool. That's illegal. Yeah, like, you're right.
Do I have to put you in this crazy bunch?
It's not like I'm trying to marry my dog, Ali. You know what I'm saying? I'm joking.
But
I'm joking.
Hot teenager, no, either, motherfucker.
Nah, I forgot how young your son is, man. I'm sorry, dog. I'm thinking we're talking about older of age.
This motherfucker.
I know. Yeah, digging my own grave here.
Yeah, can't save you on that one.
But yeah, I mean, they're not watching those stories. You're saying
no, they're not following those stories like that. So the the environment is different for them. You know what I mean? They going about their day to day. Whether that's they could be thugging day to day. You know what I'm saying? And they could feel it in a certain kind of way because they're already playing cops and robbers. But, you know what I'm saying, you knew that already. But really, it's the people, the other 97-8% of the people who just fucking trying to go to school and go to work.
See, and
that fucking bear the brunt of the stress.
What bothers me, though, is that narrative, even though your son's not watching it, that narrative exists. And, you know.
No doubt. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. It's just a lot of times when they put stuff out, they put it out. A lot of times, the generation that's coming up, they're a step removed from what they should be on, and not that they should be on, but what the narrative is targeting them. So if the adults that's around, they getting this message, and everybody's looking at the youth like, oh, look at them motherfuckers over there, they fucking up the whole community. You know what I'm saying? The youth are just going about their way. Like we were in the 80s when it was fucking this hip-hop plague that's ruining the earth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You get all these stories about how hip-hop this, hip-hop that, and then you just going along. You just fucking going to the party.
Right.
And you're not giving a fuck. And then you just keep it moving, and the next thing you know, it's a fucking multi-billion-dollar industry, and then I go to New York and make a great living working in that industry. Because I didn't pay attention to what the narrative was supposed to be.
Oh, so you're saying the previous generation coming up is going to remove whatever narrative.
I think a lot of times the way I'm seeing it is, I think the effect that they want to have is not really working, because there's a lot of people that's removed from the narrative itself, and they're just living day to day, and then the reality of the situation is not what they're making it out to be, and it's becoming a wider and wider gap between what they're pushing and what is real.
That's interesting, because, you know, Bill Burr is a comedian, and he had a special that just came out, and he did a joke about Donald Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget how old Donald, I think he's in his 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Burr's premise was like, what did you expect him to say? The dude, he's a white dude in his 80s. Like, that's what they do. That's what they talk about when they're not around.
Right.
So to your point, like, the generation that's coming up is almost detached.
Right.
From that kind of
and it's like even if you look at Ferguson, right, and it was like the second wave after the jury decision, the grand jury decision, and you're looking at it, and I'm just watching the news, and the night Don Lemon was like, and obviously there's marijuana in there, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? But when you're looking at it, and then they just keep showing the same one building that's burning in the same one car. It's like, what the fuck? And he like pushing it like it's the whole fucking city is fucking
this one building.
Down. And then Anderson Cooper was the only one that kind of took a step back. He was like, well, listen, guys, if you want to put this thing in scale, you know what I'm saying? This is really a 4-block radius. And, you know what I'm saying, maybe 300 people. You know what I mean? So, but the way it looks is like the whole fucking town is burning down. It's, most of the people in Ferguson was probably at home like, the fuck? I got to go to work in the morning.
Yeah. But, you know what I mean? But from the media, it looked like that it's, one building was...
Right. And then the violent, out of if you take those 4 blocks and you take the side that was actually really causing the ruckus... That was like one corner. You know what I mean? And even when the first wave of it, when they burnt down the, what was the guys? The QT. You know what I'm saying? That was the only building that they would show. Like, this dude, they burnt the QT down.
It's mayhem. Apocalypse. Crazy, the man. QT's burning.
So, like, when you look at the narrative and then you look at the reality, it's a lot different. You know what I mean? And that's where I try to live in my own reality.
Because, you know, back to, we were talking about earlier about wearing suits and hoodies and all that. They say, you know, I know some, my parents were growing up, they're like, you should dress okay so people have a certain perception of you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at a guy like Louis Gates who got arrested in his home.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a polo on.
Mm-hmm. Harvard professor.
Harvard professor. Like, it's not about the clothing, it's they have this.
And that's why you can't live in that shit. You gotta live in the reality of
the
shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could live in the shit and then all white rappers are trash and fucking appropriating the culture and, you know what I'm saying, all that shit. But then in real life, you go to work and you sit next to a bunch of white people in your job. And a lot of them you like. Some of them you don't. You have to go to lunch with them. You know what I'm saying?
It's a
different reality.
I love you, Chris.
Hey, Chris back over there, you know what I'm saying, holding shit down and shit.
It's a beautiful white man right there. Conditioned beard. I mean, you look fantastic, Chris. Don't put that out there, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Conditioned beard. But I think you condition your beard, don't you?
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah, conditioned beard.
But, you know, you had to kind of look at the reality sometimes. And yes, there's a lot of things, the perception-wise, that need to change. There's a lot of things that's going on that need to change. And that's what I think what people are talking about. And I think what the news cycle is doing is distracting from the real conversation a lot of times. And that's just my own little opinion.
Oh, all right. It's getting hot out there, Ali, but, you know. You know what's funny? I had a conversation with a good friend of mine by Giuliani,
mm-hmm.
and he made the point that we created Giuliani. Because you recall, when Giuliani got elected, it was a landslide.
I wasn't here.
Oh, you was? Yeah, but basically, you know, New York was crime-ridden.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically voted him into office by a landslide because the city was that bad, so we put him into office. He came in, cleaned things up. And
that's how they wanted you to see it?
That's the perception of it.
They couldn't clean it up before. They ain't want to clean it up before.
Nah. There was some truth to it.
Man, it's the motherfucking shit is some bullshit to me. Because I'm from Miami. And we had a strip, 15th Ave.
There were drugs in Miami?
In Miami. Where it was like it was like a drug supermarket. Like between 62nd Street and 71st Street. Every corner had its own drug spot. And it had been that way all my life, you know what I'm saying, from before I was born. And I think it was, what was that, 99, the Super Bowl was coming to Miami. And during the whole 2 months before the Super Bowl was getting there, you have police and these 18-wheelers, and they would have a backup and a red light on, and it'd be like a whole fucking army of fucking SWAT people in the back of an 18-wheeler. And they would ride down all the notorious drug spots. And that was the warning. And if you didn't shut down, they come right back through and just lay the whole shit down. And by the time the Super Bowl got there, they had shut down the whole...
Cleaned it up.
All of the drug spots. 15th Avenue didn't even exist no more as a drug supermarket. They blocked it off. It was one way in, one way out. It didn't exist by the time the Super Bowl got there. So what took y'all so long? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it ain't that they can't. It's that they just don't. Because for whatever reason, I don't know the reasons, but I saw in that particular case, that shit was done expeditiously. When that shit had been there all my life. So that just tells me, man, they do shit when they want to do shit. They didn't do shit, just like the shit that's going on with the mayor right now, where the cops, they're in a row with the mayor because of some shit he said that wasn't, you know, totally 100% with them. And, you know, and they say, you know, well, you know what I'm saying, you want to talk that way, you want to disrespect us, you know what I'm saying, when our officers get killed, don't come to the motherfucking funerals, you know what I'm saying? And then, so these officers get killed, maybe 14 days later, and he shows up and they all turn their back to him, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
So they're just letting you know, we don't want to work with you, we don't want to work for you, motherfucker. So whatever you talking about, we don't want to hear that shit. It's just like the couple years ago. You remember that winter when it snowed real heavy and then the sanitation trucks didn't clean the streets?
I remember that, yeah.
It's because they didn't want to. It wasn't that's fucking been snowing in New York for hundreds of years. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, this one year, y'all can't get the streets clean because they didn't fucking want to. Because the mayor had just fucking issued some layoffs for their department. And they didn't like that shit.
Yeah, because, I mean, the snow don't change, right? I mean,
nah, the snow don't change. You fucking think you know it's going to snow, you go fucking salt the streets. Shit snow, you come plow the shit. Routine. But if the mayor dropped down some layoffs and, you know what I'm saying, all your buddies got to get fucking fired during Christmas and shit, you mad about that shit. The union boss like, you know what, y'all? Fuck that shit. Let them deal with that shit. It's on them. It's on their head. But sanitation, they don't have a motherfucking union boss that gets on the news and shit. They don't have that platform.
Right, starts inciting.
Right, so, you know what I'm saying? When you see with the police, he telling you right now. He told you on the motherfucking press conference that we not fucking with him. And when shit go down, it's on y'all. Now what?
It's crazy to me that.
So that's politics, and then we got to live every day. Vlad, but you live in your own reality, man. You ain't got to fucking pay attention to none of that shit.
Matrix.
Red pill or the blue one?
Red pill or the blue one, man. Red pill or the blue one. Oh, well, I guess on a lighter note, you going to go see Selma?
Yes.
Got good reviews.
Did it?
Yeah, got good reviews. Check that out.
I'm going to support Ava. I think she's been steadfastly rising. Doing her shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't think in the last 4 years she has stopped, you know what I mean, doing things. And she's come a long way. You know what I mean?
I'm going to check that out. I'm seeing her on the 5th.
She, you know, she's been in and around for a minute. And we were early on in the game. We worked on the film back in the day. And she was on that film as the PR person. And so just to see her, you know what I'm saying, get her shine right now is, you know what I'm saying, it's a good thing. And parallel to what she's doing, like at the studio, she's also creating an indie movie pipeline. You know what I mean? So she's, you know.
Ava.
DuVernay,
that's right.
Uh-huh. She's doing her thing. And, you know, that's just as inspiring as Chris Rock having a blown out shot to me. Because it shows you, you know what I'm saying, it can be done. It doesn't take these magical, mythical things to get it done. It's just you fucking do shit. Do work.
I got to look her up, actually, just to, you know, learn more about her.
Yeah, do that, man. You know, she's been doing her shit. She had a couple movies that she did on her fucking own that made a lot of noise. She went to Sundance with In the Middle of Nowhere a couple years ago. Straight independent joint. And that's opened the doors, you know what I'm saying, for what she's doing now. And then also is like the DP, the director of photography on that movie, Bradford Young, he's rising as well. So you get to see this crew that's been rising together becoming, you know what I'm saying, they're hitting their stride right now. And then I would like to think that I'm on the next wave of people behind them.
Absolutely, brother.
I like to think I'm motherfucking next.
That's right. Ali Muhammad, you know
what
man. Saying?
That's what I like to think.
Come up with so much.
That's
too.
My reality. Fuck the narrative.
Ali, before we wrap up, man, I wanted to get your thoughts on something real quick. Because you're talking about the cops and we're talking about all that. I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on Al Sharpton? I'm asking you this. If you had a movement, say if something happened to in your community, right?
Uh-huh.
Would you want to have Al step up to the plate and speak for you guys? Or
I mean, I'm going to tell you like this, man. Al is operating from a legacy position. You understand? He's operating in a way that had been in the play for a long time. He knows a lot of the players. He knows a lot of the pieces. So he's able to position himself in between the action and the players themselves. So they know how to negotiate with Al. Al knows how to negotiate with them. You know what I'm saying? So he's omnipresent. No matter what the situation is, he can show up because he's been there since the motherfucking 60s or whatever, the 70s or 80s. You know what I mean? Since he had the fat belly and the perm. I think that was 70s, 80s, whatever. But I particularly wouldn't want him controlling my narrative because I want a new narrative. I would want my narrative to be a little different. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of things that come automatically when Al shows up.
He's involved, right?
You know what I'm saying? It's, oh, here we go. You know what I'm saying? And it's this way until, you know what I'm saying, he gets what he wants and then it dissipates. Sometimes you want to make some real shit happen and you don't need a negotiator. You want to make shit happen for real. So I probably wouldn't want Al to show up at my thing, but you know what I'm saying? I couldn't say that, you know what I mean? If something did happen and he showed up, that it would be necessarily a bad thing. I just wouldn't want him leading the way. I wouldn't want him representing the cause that I'm putting that's surrounding my situation.
Yeah, I was curious to get your take on it because
I don't know if that was a take.
No, but that was definitely a take because he was in on the take for a couple years. I mean, you know,
that's, yeah, a couple years. He's been on the take for a long time.
That's why I always find.
I mean, it's a system. It's a fucking system. Yeah, yeah. You fucking some shit happened. Al comes in, or Jesse comes in, or whoever is, you know, civil rights activists come in, and you know the people talk to Al. Okay, we could work this out with Al. Al is fair with us. Al. What's going on? Well, you know, they want this. Okay, we can't do that, but can we do this? And then it's like, okay, cool. All right, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Then they go their separate ways, and then the shit happens, and then, you know, you get what you get, and then you go sit down.
He's an interesting character, man.
But they got the new Owls coming up, you know what I'm saying? You got Parks and Crump, the lawyers, who are representing all of the families now, lately. They represented Trayvon's mother. That's when they popped on the scene. And they're representing Mike Brown's family. And it's a new version of what the civil rights guys were doing. They have their own spin. And Daryl Parks, who is Crump's partner, Daryl Parks and I forget Crump's first name, but Daryl Parks went to college with me. And so I kind of understand who he is and how he rolls, and I can see how the positioning that they're taking, and they're the new version of what those guys were doing.
So, we got new Al's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it's time, but really, I would like to see if Parks and Crump are going to take that position. I would like to see some real, you know, shit happen.
Yeah, man, I'm with you, dog. So, it's been anything else, Ali, or you think we?
You giving up?
Not giving up. I just had some other thoughts I wanted to ask you about.
Man, why didn't you just ask? Why you had to ask?
It's weird, dude. Because I wanted to talk to. I had on my notes. I wanted to talk about ethnic shaving.
What's that?
As a person of color,
like shaving with a fucking razor.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out a good system for me. I get a lot of bumps.
Uh huh.
And I thought that was a weird transition.
Listen,
from all the serious
stuff.
Listen,
this is one of the weird Vlad moments in hygiene.
I always have these, man. Because Chris, I can talk to you, but I don't think you don't get bumps, do you?
You don't shave.
But
yeah.
See, the thing about skin, man, and your skin, you have to research what type of skin you got on the fucking moisture range. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot about moisture and how you treat your skin. So, you know, you definitely got to look at the type of razor you're using.
I stopped using razors totally.
So what are you using?
I use clippers now.
Okay, so clippers are working for you.
Yeah, clippers working. Working
all right. Good. So you use your clippers, but then do you moisturize?
I've been using a little, I have started moisturizing.
Now, that's the key to all the shit. I learned this. Only reason I know this shit, just for the record, because I shoot a lot of beauty videos. And I have a whole series with a beauty website that's like a Sephora for women of color. And I have a series on there called Real Women, and it's dubop.com, Real Women. And they all talk about their routine. And Jody,
I gotta get on that.
And Jody, well, you know, it's for women.
Oh, okay.
And but they might have some men stuff, yeah, though. I think they do have men stuff. Jody Patterson, who is the co-founder of Dubop, I shot a series with her called Girl Crush that was all about just fucking beauty routines. And so that's when I became knowledgeable of beauty.
So you think moisture is a big deal?
Moisture is a big deal. And it's not necessarily just the... I know we're randomly talking right now, but...
I had to ask you, man.
But moisture is not just about the things you put on your skin. It's about the things you put in your body. So moisture is keeping yourself hydrated as well. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times you might want to throw on a lot of lotion on your ash, but then you're not drinking enough water.
So you're going to be thirsty. You're gonna still be
so your skin is still thirsty no matter how much, you know what I'm saying, oil you put on it. Natural oils, you know what I'm saying? It's very important to put on your skin what you would want to put in your body. So you might not necessarily want to put a lot of chemicals on your skin. So, you know, things that you can eat, olive oil, coconut oil, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that, man. But, you know. I'm gonna say that for another series.
Yeah, we'll
I'm
talk again.
I'm gonna make a YouTube series.
No, I'm gonna keep
beauty,
telling the notes.
Beauty for notes. Men, grooming.
A lot of the listeners could benefit.
I learned a lot sitting on the other side of the, the
dude.
Table.
I'm gonna talk to you. I want to talk to you more about this beauty stuff, man. Because we need to for 2015. We got to get this skin thing right.
Get grown, man. Get grown, man. Shit, man.
Olive oil,
coconut oil.
What about the Pam spray? Can you cooking spray on your body or not?
You probably don't really want to eat Pam.
No.
Aerosol on your fucking pancakes, player?
Yeah, that's not good.
Like eating deodorant and shit. Right guard.
Right guard pancake mix. That's disgusting. That is disgusting, dog. All
right, man, let's get out of here.
Let's get out. But listen, man, have a great Christmas out there, y'all.
No doubt.
Whatever you guys do, wash your hands.
Keep it real out there.
And we'll see you. We got an episode coming up before the new year drops. We'll be on here.
Yeah, we'll be out here, man, to talk about that, the holidays and the new year.
And thanks a lot, y'all. Please tune in. Ellie, what's going on? What you got going on, dog?
Holidays, man. Kicking it with the fam. Kicking it with the fam. And then, you know, getting ready for 2015. Well, we'll talk about that. 2015.
Next week, yeah. I'm going to be at the Proctor's Theater in Schenectady on Saturday. You catch me out there, Proctor's Theater, Saturday. I got a show up there. And then for other dates, I'll be at Levity Live January 2nd through the 3rd through the 5th. I'll be at Levity Live. And then my website, laughingvlad.com. And then Ali, you online. You got your stuff online, right?
Yeah, Mr. Muhammad, you find me out there in the internets.
All right, y'all. Peace. Be safe. Peace.